Acts chapter number 3. I want to read just a couple of verses from this passage because it's a very powerful truth. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. You got to love this about the followers of Jesus in the early church. They were meeting in homes. They were going to the temple. They were doing everything they could to connect with God as frequently as possible. And you look at the commitment levels these two have. These are the two of course, the remaining 10 that are responsible to be teaching and leading and preaching and giving direction to this early church that's just been born. And as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Man who never walked. Okay. So, Father, we bless and glorify your name. Your son, Jesus, from the get-go tonight, has been the center of this service. May we celebrate the freedom we received from him in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This was a man that was crippled, lame, incapable of mobility, who begged outside the temple gate called Beautiful. And 2 apostles, meaning sent ones, walked by on this given day, and that was the last day he was lame. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, because in just a split moment's time, as they shared the love of Jesus and the power of the name of Jesus, when he had been begging for alms, Peter said, "We don't have any gold or silver. We're going to give you what we have." Grabs him by the hand, pulls him to his feet, and says, "In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And the guy immediately is healed. Then the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. All the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's. So there were thousands of people who had assembled for the daily time of prayer, greatly amazed. So when Peter sees this crowd of people, he responds to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers," there's that lineage again I talked to you about this morning, "the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of whom we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So I'm going to talk about faith for a few minutes tonight and how that manifests. Faith that transforms us. And as I traverse this story, it's one of those stand-alone stories in the book of Acts. This is more than a physical healing. These truths speak of healing in every area of life, because people need healing because of the hurts and the difficulties and the pains they've suffered many times that they keep hidden from the public view because they've just suffered with them all these years. Faith in Jesus' name put this man, whose condition you know so well, on his feet. Yes, faith and nothing but faith put this man healed and whole right before your eyes. Now, some attend church 3 times a week, some 2 times, many 1 time per week. And the truth I want to share is there's not much emphasis placed on the name of Jesus in many church services today. If the emphasis is not focused on the name of Jesus, how do we expect results? The apostles did not gather fame for themselves. They understood that the power working in and through us is because of Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, who transformed their lives by faith, they could not have been any benefit to this man who had been lame all of his life. And this explosive miracle that took place at the temple, people have been gathering, they're watching this man. They've known him to be crippled, who've been brought there every single day. He's now leaping, and they begin to celebrate Peter and John. And the people are amazed at what's just happened. Peter and John let the crowd know the only way this could have happened, it was by the Jesus that we preach. There are some today who are starstruck. They think church has become a stage. They want to be a superstar. Without Jesus, you know what you were without Jesus. You know what you were before you met him. I know what I was before I met Jesus. Being a follower of Jesus for many decades, married for 52 years, it's not achievable without Jesus. And I know who I might have been without Jesus. And while I'm here, I don't care how loud you want to shout, how many hand claps you want to create, cartwheels you want to turn, nothing of this would ever exist without Jesus. Whatever God does in our lives, through our lives, to help others to believe in the Jesus that we represent, let's not talk about how disciplined and how wise we've become. The only thing that held your life together, held your marriage together, is Jesus. In spite of all the chaos that we have on our journey, it should bring glory to the name of Jesus, because he's the only one that can clear out all the clutter. And never forget, because whenever we think we deserve his glory, we take away the power of his name. And the reason the power of his name is not just as impacting as it should be, and hasn't been as impacting in our culture as it should have been for the last 4 or 5 decades, especially in the church, particularly in the direction many have decided to go. Too many want glory for themselves. Did you hear what I just said? Too many want glory for themselves. Wherever I am, it's all about Jesus. The apostle said, hold up. You're really excited about us. Wait a minute. This man's wholeness was not because of us. His wholeness has only come by the one we introduced him to, Jesus. And never get to the place where we have church services and fail to introduce people to Jesus. It's not a Christian work if we never mention Christ. Somebody ought to be shouting by now, but you all are just kind of sleeping on me again, right? First of all, the lame man had faith in Jesus. He had faith in the name of Jesus, who Peter and John proclaimed. He had faith in Jesus' name. Our declaration of Jesus should be so powerful. People believe in Jesus more than they believe in us. I know the Word of God speaks of showing honor to spiritual leadership, honor to those who are proficient in God's Word, honor to one another, honor to those in authority. God has spoken clearly about that. No question. There's no argument about that. But you can honor me to the point, and here's what's going to happen. I will point you to Jesus every single time. And everyone knows about Calvary Christian Center. We point everybody to Jesus. We may pray, but he heals. We may counsel, but only he delivers. The only way it works. Right, Glenn? Jesus heals. Your doctors know that. Amen? Miracles. 8 years. Yeah. They've never had a study like this before. This is one of those standouts. When Donna walks in, they've got in her file, Miracle Lady. There's no place to put her in the category in the database across America where they've seen tumors shrink before surgery to that extent. They've never had that happen. They don't know where to put that. And of course, your doc sent one of his administrative assistant up here to check our services out. We had to figure out what in the world's going on in that place. In fact, the oncologist told us when we stopped in the office one day, he said, now that we look back on this, we scratch in our head wondering, should we have even done surgery? I mean, we've never seen tumors shrink like this. That's never happened before. Well, we all know what God does, right? It's incredible. It's always Jesus. Some attempt to build a name for themselves, and I'm sorry for those who do stuff like that. It's our responsibility to build his name, because if we build his name, we get to walk in his victory. But if all we do is build a name for ourselves, the first crisis, the first criticism, the first nasty remark on Facebook, and you're going to fold like an empty plastic bag. Right. The lame man had faith in Jesus' name. Peter and John did well in this early moment of ministry. They responded to the need the lame man had. They didn't have any gold or silver on them to give him, but they said, look at us. Look up here at us. This must have been a further exchange not recorded about Jesus. Why? Because the man received healing at the hand of Jesus. The healing was the sign that he had an encounter with Jesus when Peter and John began to exercise faith in the name of Jesus. The results are automatic when people meet Jesus. And if there's a low level of productivity in the church, then there's a low level of acknowledgement of Jesus in the church as well. But when Jesus is the focal point again, then any kind of miracle can happen in this place, even tonight. And then be careful, you know. Some TV preachers, they boast about their roller and all that wonderful thing that they're driving and flying in and this and that. Now, if the funding has come from their own personal enterprises and creative work that God's blessed them to do, and they were able independently to raise that kind of income to do those kinds of things, so be it. Or if someone has come along, as I know of some of my friends, and said, we need to get you traveling a lot more than you are, and I have a plane at my disposal, and it's now at your disposal, so you tell me whenever you want to go somewhere, and my pilot will take you where you need to go. Something like that happens, so be it. But everything we do, no matter how it happens, must always point back to who? Jesus. Whatever happens in the services, in the home groups, healing of the body, mind, or spirit, whatever it is, it must always point back to Jesus. I trusted in Jesus. Look what he did for me. And if we don't stay Christ-centered, and that's what's missing, too many places want to give more of themselves and not enough of Jesus. Jesus himself said, my Father's house is to be called a house of prayer. Have we turned it in some places into arenas for amusement? That's not what we're called to do. And that's not the place of ministry. We're not an amusement park. So people get addicted to us, and we can't be everywhere. Then they get upset when we can't be where you are. So we must always point people to Jesus. Because if we point people to Jesus, all they have to say in a crisis is, in the name of Jesus. The lame man, through Peter and John, embraced faith in Christ. And when he embraced faith in Jesus, his condition immediately changed. We get tired of praying for people, and they still want to be in the same condition. No one should be waiting on power from your pastors. Wait for power from Jesus the Christ. That's the source of power. I'll lay hands on the sick, so should every follower of Jesus. But let's not look to rituals or the thrill of some celebrity speaker. Let's make room for Jesus to do his thing, not having church our way, asking Jesus to lead our church services. This is your church. You're the one who spilled your blood for it. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may what? Establish his covenant. So some people think, well, the more God gives me, the more God wants me to have for myself. No, no, no. That's not the way of God. When the more God gives you, the more he wants you to give it away to bless others. Yeah, you can have some of your own toys and all that. He's not saying you can't have that. But that's not the only reason he blesses you. He blesses you so you can become a giver like he is. Now, it doesn't say we inherently have the power to gain wealth or we generate the power to gain wealth. The Lord gave you that power. And there's a reason for it, so he can establish his covenant. He can get his word to where he wants it to go. Through faith in his name has made this man strong. Peter and John knew they weren't the source. They were simply the conduit through which the source ran. So we need to understand and not be fearful to be the PVC pipe, which means we're not the source. We just allow the power and the source to flow through us. When I get up, Jesus is flowing through me. When I stand here to deliver his word, Jesus is flowing through me. I'm not it. I'm just blessed while he's flowing into the hearts of people. Secondly, through faith in Jesus' name, the lame man's life was transformed. He went from being paralyzed, immobile, at the beautiful gate. He had no mobility whatsoever. I don't know what routine you have that needs Jesus. Be careful. Don't create a routine around your weakness. Some people get so fearful of any change that even the unbearable is a comfort zone for them because they're so fearful of some vulnerability, of some hurt being exposed, of some problem that they've suffered coming to light, and they don't want anyone to know it. So they'll endure the unbearable in order, because they're scared, fearful to be transparent. And that's a dangerous place to be, because when you are in that place, you can't grow and you can't develop and you can't mature and you stagnate in that place. Because we need to get out of our comfort zone and become uncomfortable. If you want the best fruit, you've got to get out on the limb. I mean, behold the turtle. In order to make progress, even he has to stick his neck out, right? So you've got to be vulnerable, and you've got to get out there, and you've got to stretch that a little bit. Don't create routine around your weakness and dig a rut, because it takes guts to leave the ruts. Well, I can't go that way because I've had experiences over there before, and I got terribly hurt. When you're whole, not just healed, whole, it says healing and wholeness, perfect soundness. Everything that went with his physical disability, all the self-feeling of inferiority, all the feeling of people looking down at him because he was incapable of earning a living or getting anywhere on his own. All of that was playing into his psyche, that was damaged through the years of him having to be on welfare and be on public support in order to just eat a meal. All of a sudden, God not just only healed his body, but brought perfect soundness to his psyche, to his heart, to his emotions, and wholeness to his being. When you have to detour daily because of past events and you want to step around things that are uncomfortable, there is an emotional, physical, and mental weakness that you've suffered in your life. And unless there's uncomfortableness, there's never going to be any growth beyond that. Daily, you have learned to ingest a pill in order to get through the day and survive. You might forget everything else in the course of the day, but you're never going to forget your need for that one pill, that dosage, to help keep you going when God has for you perfect soundness and total wholeness? What if we took the same mental approach concerning Jesus? And here's what would happen. Your next doctor's appointment, you'd walk in and you'd be seated there like normal, and they would do all the regular checkup. But this time that they've done the checkup, they don't find what they diagnosed the last time. You've taken your dosage, but daily now you have added taking in Jesus through the Word of God, and you've begun to believe what it says about Jesus and who He is, and now you get to know who He is on a personal level, and it has changed your daily activity. Tell your neighbor, something is about to shift. Tell them, something is about to shift. There is a certain time. Now remember this, your enemy, the adversary, celebrates seasons. He's very fond of anniversary dates. There are seasons, even in the calendar year, when it seems like during that month, this is when the most pain I've suffered ever happened. And it seems like year after year, the enemy comes back and sticks the knife in again, because he loves those anniversary dates to remind you of the hurt he's inflicted on you. They're a pattern. You can observe the patterns of how he works against us. You recognize every year in a certain month, he comes back with further oppression and more depression. Now, hear what I'm saying. I've introduced you to Jesus tonight, and don't you dare expect the same depression and oppression. Don't expect the regular patterns any longer. I have introduced you to the one and only Jesus the Christ, the one who delivers, the one who sets free, the one who gives you power to overcome, to be transformed. You will not be lying at the gate asking for something that you can have for yourself. The same Jesus who saved me, called me, made me who I am, can make you whole, can heal your disease, can bless your finance, can restore your marriage, can repair your emotion, can heal your broken heart, can set the captive free. This is the same Jesus. And the same Jesus who is present by His Spirit, who gave me the ability to articulate this truth, can do the same thing in your life. I don't know what your weakness is, but I know the Jesus who can fix it. Amen? I believe in a Jesus. I know a Jesus. I'm preaching about the one and only Jesus. You can believe in the same Jesus. So I'm fearless of my testimony and where He brought me from, because this Jesus is taking me where I'm going. Amen. No warning. One day in your life, unless you embrace Jesus and you begin to know Him personally, unless you receive Him as your friend and journey with Him when He's been presented to you, unless you stop rejecting His appeals to you to come and go with me, journey with me, I've got more for you, come out of that rut, that comfort rut you've created. Unless you do that, there's going to come a day when you're going to need Jesus, and you're not going to be able to find a believer to be the conduit who brings you that Jesus. The man was lame. He was accustomed to having to beg for support. He was on probably what they would call public assistance. And you can't get people out of those places in life unless you make yourself available for Jesus to work through. His life was transformed when he was introduced to Jesus, when they represented him. And suddenly he goes from feet and ankles that had no ability whatsoever to hold him up. His feet nor his ankles had any strength in them. They never did from birth. He was not capable of ever learning to walk. And a creative miracle happens instantaneously. And the more we get Jesus into our environment, we invite Jesus into our weaknesses, those weaknesses will receive an eviction notice. And those weaknesses need to be evicted from our lives. And while I'm speaking God's word, remember, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You begin to believe in this Jesus, not in a denomination, not in a church, not in a religion. You're believing in Jesus. And suddenly what you had in its grip is releasing you right now because you're believing in the same Jesus that that man crippled from birth believed in on that day. The same Jesus who was with Peter and John is with us and in us right now. Imagine. The same Jesus, he was revealed so well, so beautifully displayed and portrayed in the lives of these two apostles, that a man who had never walked a step in his life, who had to be carried everywhere, who could not be mobile in any way, all of a sudden, he jumps up. Immediately, his ankles and feet receive strength. In other words, the thing that all of us are used to, having strength in our feet and ankles to support us, which he never had in his lifetime, which you would think, well, if all of a sudden he had the capability of getting up, he didn't have the muscular strength or conditioning to do it. The tendons were not developed properly for them to support him and to keep the pivot around that ankle supported from all angles so he didn't fall over and even break a bone in that ankle. No, the miracle was so intense that God restored all the tendons, all the muscle, all the connective tissue, and the man jumps, and he walks, and he leaps, and he dances all over the Temple Mount, and the whole crowd is looking at this going, what in the world just happened here? This guy that we see every day, look at him. The answer to the cultural destruction and the evil we're witnessing all around us in our society, the answer for the church in its paralysis, and the churches of America have been in paralysis, is the revelation of Jesus the Christ. Once he's first and foremost in the church again, once he's front and center, listen, strength will come back to the body of Christ. His power, his love, his truth transforms our lives. Well, Pastor, I attend church. No, it's not about attending church. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about a holy boldness that he gives you when you learn who he is. It's not a position. It's not a title. It's about a relationship. It's not about assignments. It's not about engagements. It's about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And listen, it has to fall on our laps and on our doorsteps, because inch by inch, degree by degree, with deliberateness of intent, many elected, many in power, many finding their way into the positions of authority in our culture, strip layer after layer after layer of the principles of Judeo-Christian values out of our foundations and out of our lives and away from your children, and then indoctrinate them until the time, by the time they get out of college, they have thrown all of the biblical principles you've tried to put into them out the door. That's why it's so important that every day, on a consistent level, we take the time to teach our children the ways of the Lord and introduce them to Jesus in reality of who he is. He's the living Christ. He's the one coming back. He's King of Kings. His collision with Jesus transformed him. Peter and John were so bold and confident in what they did was because Jesus had transformed their lives. They had personal experience with him. My boldness does not come from arrogance. My boldness comes from the personal knowledge of who my Jesus is. He's not a fable. He's not a fairy tale. He's not a story. He's not a movie on Netflix. I know what he's done for me. I'm emboldened to know he can do the same for anybody else who's willing to receive him into their lives. And I know this, the church needs an overhaul in America. The church needs a reset in America. And God's ready to get glory out of our lives for those who've been crippled in the routines and need a miracle to get us back up on our feet and to get us full of life again and mobile and shouting and dancing and running and jumping and giving thanks to God. Amen. And that crippled routine needs a miracle. Crippled in thinking. Many in the church crippled in addictions, in the kinds of churches at some points and some levels, so fearful of criticism and so fearful of being put down and so fearful of being shamed that while they're struggling with difficulties and issues, they can't talk to anybody. They're afraid to confess to anybody. And James, the half-brother of Jesus, makes it very, confess your faults one to another that you may be what? Healed. Confession. We confession? Isn't that a Catholic thing? No, it's a New Testament thing. Yeah, kind of, right? We've been co-opted. Taking that away from us, off our plates. I was sharing with my wife the story, as I mentioned this morning, of someone that we've watched through the years, and the talent and the ability and the anointing, just incredible, but so fearful to be able to talk about his personal suffering and what happened in the lineage of his family because of his father's alcoholism and his father being able to cover it for many, many years until once it got to the point where it was no longer coverable and lost positions and lost ministry opportunities and all kinds of things went downhill. And the boys in the family suffering from the same kind of the only way they knew how to medicate themselves was what they saw as an example from their dad. And that's how he would medicate his hurts and his sorrows. And these boys now being abused by an abusive father now start self-medicating themselves, trying, but have nowhere to turn that they feel safe, that they can express this to, until believers who loved him enough, believers at the top of their games, believers who had high risk in doing what they were going to do, met with him and did an intervention and said, you got to have help and you got to have it now. And we love you and we're here for you. And we're going to walk you through this process until you're whole, until you're healed. And one of the last public concerts he had done, this was one of the first times ever that he went to the stage of a concert where he had been drinking. All the previous years, he kept his drinking away from his performance and away from the audiences and doing it in private. But this night, he happened to take the stage and he had been drinking. And one of the persons he was singing with and interviewing him said, I could smell it on him. And he insisted he wanted to sing again. And I said, no, you're not going to sing tonight. And you're going to have a seat. And they took his keys away from him and escorted him out to another place. And then all of those involved in that performance that night gathered together afterwards and huddled and prayed that God would help this man, this brother that was struggling for so long, and deliver him from this addiction that he was so ashamed of that he could never talk to anybody about. And then they committed and covenanted with each other, we will not betray him publicly to anybody. We will protect him. We will make sure he's well and whole. And we will not discuss this story with the press or with the public and make a public embarrassment and shame of him because he's had enough shame personally in his life for a lifetime. And they watched him recover and watched him get the victory and watched him be whole again. And look, folks, that's what the church is here for. We've got the best medicine in town. We've got the antidote to no matter what the devil has stung somebody with. We don't need to be in here with masks on and pretense. We need to come in here realizing this is the best hospital in town. No disrespect intended, but we've got it all over the other hospitals here in the area because what happens here heals body, soul, mind, and spirit. And there's no other place I know of that can do that except in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. People crippled in thinking and in addictions and in fears and anxieties, past abuse and threats from the adversary who will constantly berate and constantly accuse. But tonight, all of those threats are going to leave your life. And after tonight, you're going to look at opposition as an opportunity, because the struggle is in where I grow. It's in the pain, and it's in the suffering, and it's in the pressure that God causes me to lean in more fully to Him. And through faith in Jesus, man, the man's life was transformed in this passage. I'm not sure what route he would take on any given day to get to the temple. But I know what route he took after he encountered Peter and John. Whenever we hear a message of truth from God's word, something should change in us. He was carried in one way. He walked and ran out another way. He didn't go home the same way he came, right? God's word should change us. And if there's no change when you've heard God's truth, it's a sign that religion has crept into your life. Every message of Jesus should transform our lives. And if your life is transformed, guess what's going to happen in your household? Guess what's going to happen in your health? Guess what's going to happen in your finances? Guess what's going to happen in your marriage? Guess what? Listen, you need more of Jesus in your marriage. Well, why do I need more of Jesus in my marriage? Because you need to be more forgiving, because Jesus was forgiving of you. And when you begin to see, remember the story? His wife gets involved now, and she begins, said, I was on the verge of walking away. I was on the verge of seeing this entire marriage collapse and crumble. I watched the destruction, the self-destruction, but with the presence and power of Jesus' love, I was able to restore and to forgive and to welcome back and fall more in love with Him than ever in my lifetime. Listen, Jesus forgives us. We are human. We are flawed. We make mistakes. And unless we have Jesus working inside out, you're going to end up nailing each other to the cross. But Jesus went to the cross. Thank the Lord. He took the curse of our sin and He nailed it to the cross. That liberates us. And third, everyone will witness the soundness that manifests in your life through faith in Christ Jesus. And you wonder, Lord, why did you allow others to know my plight? Why did you allow others to see my crippledness? It was good that others saw your state. It was good for them to understand that we're all human and we all walk with limps, paralysis, failures, setbacks, missteps, because Jesus is fixing to magnify Himself through your weaknesses publicly. He begins to say, look what I can do in and through your life. Sometimes it's good for people to know you're going through hell, so they can believe in the Jesus who brings you out of that hell. Some are afraid of what you're facing, even though some of the things you've been through have been horrendous. But when you come out on the other side, Jesus gets all the glory. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I'm saying, you'll come out of this on the other side, because God is going to glorify His Son once again through your life. Well, you don't understand. Pastor, I've struggled with some addictions. You've had addictions, but Jesus is here. I hope one day to be able to bring that guy here and introduce him to you and let him tell you, but Jesus. We're going to have a phenomenal time in mid-September. I'm going to show you and bring to you a family that suffered horrible losses and pain and suffering and the total destruction of a marriage. And they're going to stand here and they're going to tell you, but Jesus. They're going to say, people will say, well, I've had some weaknesses, Pastor, and I've struggled with them. I believe Jesus will enter all the battles, no matter what the issues may be. And when you come through all those battles, your family will observe it It's good that they knew about it, because when Jesus brings you out of what others have known about, God is glorified in that victory. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. The anointing is present. Jesus' anointing. It's the most powerful anointing of all. And some need to begin praising while you're going through it. Learn to do that. Praise while you're going through it. Because Jesus is in the midst of the fire with you right now. He's still the fourth man in the fire. And the enemy whispers, you won't survive this one, but Jesus. He won't survive this one. What they didn't know is Jesus got in the middle of the battle with you. You should have fallen apart. The enemy even suggested you take yourself out, but Jesus got in it with you. And better watch them. They're going to go over the edge, Pastor. They're speaking of the wrong edge, because Jesus is standing with you. Jesus has stepped into your situation. They thought the man would forever be lying at the gate. They thought the man would forever be on assistance. They thought the man would always be the tail. But when Jesus gets involved in your situation, he who was the tail will become the head. They thought he was forever to be underneath. But when Jesus gets in the middle of your life, he places you above only and not beneath. I believe I have some people in here who are starting to understand, if I can just trust Jesus. And some have spent so much time rehearsing your losses. All you need is one win with Jesus, and it will trump every loss you have ever experienced in your life. One win with Jesus, one Jesus encounter will bring restoration to your entire life and for your future. So why do I keep preaching? Because if people don't believe more in Jesus when we're done, what have we been preaching? We can't have the kingdom without the king. Some people want to build kingdoms with no king or their own king. We have to have only the one king. If we don't speak about the king, how do we have the kingdom? How can we take territory if we don't know the king? And some foreclosed person, or a person who's had a health setback, a person who's been left by the gate, left crippled, is about to encounter Jesus here tonight. Some have minimized the impact of Jesus' name. Some have settled into places where the church is no longer effective, because the power of Jesus is not preached from the pulpit. Jesus' name, listen, is some just common noun that people use. Many churches have distilled Jesus' name. I want to challenge you. His name is above every name. Every knee is going to bow at the mention of his name. Every tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I believe that every situation you've faced, every crisis you've endured, has to bow at the name of Jesus. I dare you to shout his name and speak his name and call his name and call upon the name of the Lord. Now, employers in many places don't want you speaking about him at work. But while you're working, where they can't hear you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. While driving the forklift, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. While you're teaching the children in that classroom as a teacher, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. While you're serving the sick in the hospital, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Watching for a shift, for the healing to begin, for employers not knowing why to start bestowing favor on your life. No matter where you find yourself, there's enough Jesus to affect any level of paralysis that you've ever endured. I love my wife. I love my family, but I love Jesus more than anything. We want to touch the world, but if we don't take Jesus to the world, listen, we don't need to go to the culture. because we've got nothing to say unless we present Jesus, because that's whom we represent. They've had so much candy religion, such a misrepresentation of Jesus. Let the world experience Jesus of the Word through our lives. Amen? We need to make a decision tonight. Will we represent Jesus? Will he bleed through every fiber of our being so when we sing, he's heard? When we speak, Jesus is heard? When we're ushering, when we're greeting, when we're walking up to a guest, someone that looks different than we do? That should make no difference to us. Whose appearance is different than ours? We still have Jesus to present. That didn't ever stop Jesus. Didn't make any difference if it was a leper that everyone said, don't go near him, don't touch him. Or it was the woman at the well in Samaria that you weren't supposed to talk to because that's a different group of people. We don't have anything to do with them. No. When you're walking up to a guest, walking up to a person, and you smile and you show the love of Jesus is heard, and Jesus is felt, and Jesus is experienced, and Jesus is seen. Amen. The encounter with Jesus transformed the lame man's life. The man who needed help just to get to the gate every day, and there are people who need help. They need help. And the help that they need is greater than we can give even out of our own material possessions. Give people the characteristics of Christ who transformed your life. And you might be in the fire yourself tonight. Jesus is in the fire with you. Go through it with faith. What do I do when I have a wall of Jericho in front of me? I push on toward it. I've got a God who knows how to crush the walls down to the ground. Jesus is with us. And no matter the test, he's there. We need to attack whatever opposes us like a champion, because that's who we are. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. Now, you got to remember, this guy is the most powerful sovereign on the planet at this time. And he can just snap his fingers, heads roll. Whatever he wants is done. The King Nebuchadnezzar is astonished, and he rose in haste, jumps up out of his seat, and he says to his counselors, Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of that fire? Now, remember, that's a smelting furnace. It has incredibly high heat because it melts iron ore and various kinds of other ores, gold, silver, whatever, at very high temperatures in order to extract the very thing that they're trying to achieve when they melt everything down. So it melts everything and just leaves the valuables in place. He heats it seven times hotter. This thing is so hot that the people that throw the three Hebrews into the fire die from just the exposure of the heat coming out of that furnace. Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of that fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose. When we bound these three and threw them in there, and they're wandering around in there, I see four now, walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. I mean, they're just walking around having a conversation, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Jesus is the fourth one in your misery. He's the fourth one in your difficulty. No matter the struggle, I can still distinguish the countenance of Jesus even when I'm in the fire. I know he's there with me. Jesus is in the middle of every chaotic situation, and people see him better when you're in trouble. People know you will emerge and come out of that hole. because you have Jesus with you. And by seeing Jesus with you, they know you will overcome anxiety, you will overcome depression, you will overcome obstacles, because Jesus is with you in every battle you face. Do you know him? Every now and then I'll put on that rendering, that black preacher, and he describes Jesus, and at the end of every other sentence or so, he says, "Do you know him? Do you know him?" Until you know him, it's only a religion. It's only a box to check. I know him. I've had a few encounters with him, and I want a few more, because in every one of them, I come out a better person than I began. So let's all stand together for a moment. And those of you that need prayer, need God's touch, and need a refreshing, and maybe you're crippled in some place in your life, down deep because of something that happened to you. I read the statistic this afternoon again, that of all these mass killings in the last decade plus, that it's now over 90% of those perps who come out of a dysfunctional relationship with their fathers. So we're trying to pinpoint, how do we find out who's doing what they're doing and try to head this off? Well, there's where it starts, in the brokenness of relationships and the destruction of the family as God has so ordained it. And so preachers and churches need to stand up and proclaim and declare that only marriage that God ordains is between a man and a woman, and it's a covenant, and we must endorse that and only that, no matter what the government says. Because while it may be legal, it isn't necessarily moral or right. And if preachers don't tell you the truth, there's nowhere to go to find it except in God's word for yourself. So here we are. If you're crippled somewhere, if you're hobbled inwardly, we're not going to write you a check for so many ounces of gold or silver. What we have, we're going to give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Make your way here if you need prayer. Don't be ashamed. Don't do what I just preached about. Don't hide it. Don't pretend it's okay. Don't fake it. Don't say, I'm never going to tell anybody. I'm too embarrassed. And the minute that you begin to let the Holy Spirit get down into the deepest corners and recesses where there's been pain like this, then he can begin to heal the wounds and the hurts and the shame and the pain and the burden. Before we go eat pie and have fellowship, and that's great, we're all looking forward to that, let's deal first with our spirit man. What need do you have in your life that needs addressing and healing? Make your way. We have a few more minutes. Make your way. Let's make it possible.